I don't know about you, but I think we can take some great messages here out of the book of 1 Samuel. And tonight we're going to look at a bold faith. I think we Christians should have a bold faith. But anyway, let's look at verse 1 of 1 Samuel chapter 14. And the Bible says, "Now it came to pass upon a day that Jonathan, the son of Saul," class who's Saul? Saul is the first king of Israel, right? "It said unto the young man that bear his armor, come and let us go over to the Philistines' garrison that it is on the other side." But he told not his father. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much, Lord, for this passage of Scripture. I pray, Father, help me as I teach me as well. And Lord, I pray that everything we do and say bring honor, bring glory to your name tonight. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So, as we look at bold faith, there are two types of faith, and I'm going to share with you quick here. There is a little faith. Jesus talks about that, ye of little faith, and bold, rock-solid faith. Okay? There are those who are bold, and their faith doesn't waver, and they're rock. They're sitting on the rock. They're solid. There are those Christians like that. But the other ones who are of little faith. And Jesus ironically told that to his disciples. Ye of little faith. Remember when Jesus was sleeping in the boat and they thought they were going to die. And he gets up and ye of little faith. Where's your faith? I'm in the boat. Isn't that amazing? It's not like the first time they saw Jesus do miracles, or he did in front of them. They witnessed that. But at that moment, when their life was on the line, guess what? They wavered. I tell you what, everything is wonderful, and we like to talk about all kinds of issues until we are in the spot. When we're in the spot, that's when it counts. Now it's not talking about others and make remarks and saying, no, it's us. We are part of the game. That's when our faith comes to the surface. Folks, it is in those moments of great trials, moments in great adversity, moments of that we don't know where to step or where to go, that our faith comes to the surface. Or we either show little faith, or we show that rock solid faith. See, it's one or the other. So, faith is the way a Christian should live. The Bible is clear about that. How we ought to live our Christian life? We ought to live by faith. In season, out of season, when you feel like, when you don't feel like, we live by faith. You know, there are many times that we don't feel like going to church. Our flesh is weak. There are many times you don't feel like you read your Bible. Your flesh is weak. There are times that you don't want to pray. The flesh is weak. I tell you this morning, I'll be honest with you. This morning, well, I prayed. I get out of bed, I pray. But I have a tendency, not a tendency. Every morning, as I'm driving, I am talking with the Lord for a good period. I mean, it's dark, it's early in the morning, there's nobody in the roads, it's just me. So I don't have the radio on. I have me and the Lord. We just driving and talking to each other. And you know, I'm talking to him. And when I finish, he talks to me because I put the Bible in my ears or in one of my ears, and I'm listening to my Bible all the way to work. So, but anyway, but today was one of those days I wanted to talk, but my words were not good. I was like, and finally he said, "Lord, please forgive me. I guess I'm still very sleepy or very tired. I cannot even put a sentence together here." Then I kind of smiled, like, I better just listen to my Bible. But that's a different story. That's like, it's not like you don't have faith, you're just tired. But anyway, faith is the way a Christian should live. We are to live by faith. The Christian is to walk by faith, is to stand by faith, is to live by faith, believe by faith, and trust in God by faith. Everything in a Christian life is to be done in faith. We have faith that God would build his church. We have faith that one day God will provide us a building. We have faith that maybe someday you get the job that you need. You know, it's all by faith. You have faith that you live a long age, that you die of a good old age. I mean, you have this faith. So, but in Matthew chapter 16, verse 8, this is what Jesus said. O ye of little faith, why reason ye among yourselves? Because ye have brought no bread. So, for those of solid, bold faith, the Bible have these words to say. Look what it says, actually, in John chapter 4, verse 28. The woman that left her water pot and went her way into the city and said to the man, Come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Then they went out of the city and came unto him. You say, what in the world are you talking about, Pastor? Here's a woman that just got saved and boldly went to the city. She probably didn't know much about Bible, you know, about anything, but she went and got a crowd to come to Jesus. That's solid rock faith. Amen. You see, that's what we say, well, I don't know. I'm going to give somebody a track. How are they going to react? What are they going to say? That's little faith. Solid rock faith is a faith that takes the thing, dies itself, and say, I got something I want you to read. When you have a chance, could you read this? And they might say to you, oh, scream at you, say, no, thank you. And you just go your way. They didn't reject you. They rejected God. Amen. That's one thing. When we think that they rejected us and we got all out of shape, all offended, guess what? Little faith. They're rejecting God and they're not rejecting us. Because the whole reason they rejected you is because what you present to them. You see, folks, faith, so to speak, is the engine that keeps us going. Because without faith, it's totally, the Bible says, impossible to what? To please God. It's impossible, according to Hebrews. The Christian church is a life of faith and always will be a life of faith. Actually, Jesus in these words has words to say about faith in his last days. Look what it says about Luke chapter 18, verse 6. It says, nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? Actually, if you look at Luke chapter 18, verse 8, actually is a question mark there. He makes that question. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? Let me tell you, folks, where we heading as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ? We are accommodating the world more and more. Churches are turning more to a worldly way to accommodate the world. And so the world comes in, there's no difference anymore. When Jesus comes, will he find faith on the earth? What does that mean? Will he find faithful people that is waiting on him or waiting for him? Now, last week we saw Saul begin his download sliding, of course. And this week, a passage focused on Saul's son, Jonathan. And this is actually the third of three characters study in a row that we're going through. First, we saw the look of Samuel as an example of someone who finished well. Then we saw Saul as an example of someone who, instead of finishing well, actually acted foolishly and out of fear. Now, this week, we see Saul going down, we see that Jonathan comes to the scene. We see this Jonathan actually was a man that probably would make a great king. He had all the qualities of being a great king, but he didn't because of the foolishness of his father. Sometimes we think that our actions doesn't drag or doesn't cause any consequences in the life of others. Yes, it does. Sometimes think, it's my prerogative. I do what I want to do. And in a way, listen, what we do sometimes affects other people. Not sometimes, a lot of times affects other people. So last week, God told Saul through Samuel that he had chosen another king, a man after God's own heart. And we know who this man is. It's David, of course. But Jonathan also fits the description here. You can read this passage without falling in love with Jonathan here and this great king. Bold with faith. Jonathan actually had so great qualities. When he knew that David was going to be the next king of Israel, he did not retaliate against David. Actually, Jonathan became one of the greatest friends of David. They were very good friends. And he knew that he would never become a king because of what his father did. So, We're going to look about this bold faith right here. Let's look at this from several points tonight. Number one, faith in battle. Faith in battle. If the Christian life is a life of faith, then we by faith must stand, must walk. And then what happens when you find yourself in the midst of battle? When we find ourselves in the midst of battle, or in the midst of trouble, in the midst of tribulation, guess what? We need to stand by faith. Let me put it this way. Okay, so you find you a Christian. You go to some place, let's say maybe in the workplace. In my case, I would say in the workplace. Maybe let's say you go to some place, maybe in a parking lot or maybe in a gathering together with the family or friends. And let's say you're the only Christian there. And the issue of Bible and God comes about and you find yourself in the midst of what? A battle. They're going to gang on you. Especially if they think you're in a cult and if they think you're weird and if you don't do what they do and all these things and they're offering you an alcoholic drink, you refuse and all these things and they're in the midst of a battle. What do you do there? Did you cave in? Or do you stand? You see, it's a choice, isn't it? And also in those moments shows the quality of our faith. How strong is my faith? Can I resist it? Can I stand? Can I tell these people what they need to hear and not be offended of what they're going to tell me? You see, right here we're going to see this guy Jonathan in the midst of battle and how he stayed faithful. See, should you do the best you can or should you put your faith in the Lord in the midst of battle? You see, if you fight a fight of faith, you always come up as a winner. I remember one time, this was about 7 or 8 guys talking. And my brother-in-law said, I don't know if he's watching me or listening to me, I don't know if he even remembers that, but he said to me this way. He said, he points at me and he said, I know when you used to drink. What happened? And I looked at him. I didn't try to offend him or be rude or anything. I just said, I am glad that you noticed that. I am glad that you noticed the change. Yeah, today I actually don't drink in about more than 20 years. Which is wonderful, but I'm glad you noticed that. And you know what? It caused a big silence in the whole crowd there. It did. But it is a blessing. Sometimes, see, you can feel sorry for yourself and get all hurt about it, and your faith becomes this small, or you just can't say something that brings glory and honor to God. Because obviously, if you notice that, and I don't do it anymore for all those many years, obviously, God did something. All right? So, faith in battle, letter A, number one, our battle is spiritual. Look there in verse 16, and it says, and Saul and Jonathan, his son, and the people that were present with them abode in Gibeah of Benjamin, but the Philistines encamped in Mizpah. And the spoilers came out to the camp of the Philistines in 3 companies. And look what it says there, one turned unto the way, and verse 18 says, another company turned the way of Bethrael, and the other company turned to the way of the border that looked to the valley of Zeboi towards the wilderness. So now, Saul, in first Samuel chapter 13, was fighting in actual. Actually, I was reading from first Samuel chapter 13, verses 16 to verse 18. I went back a little bit. But Saul in 1 Samuel chapter 13 was fighting an actual physical battle. But we find something interesting that parallels to our spiritual battle here. Look, folks, our battle is spiritual. All right? We don't use those weapons of war like we're here in, but we're putting a comparison right here. And we fight our fight every day. Every day you and I go into battle. I hope you understand, you acknowledge that every day when you get out of bed, you go into battle too. With whom? Who are the enemies? Who are the enemies? Satan is one, right? Who's the other one? The flesh. And who's the other one? The world. The system that we live in is anti-God. So we go to battle every day. As we like it or not, as if we can put my weapons down and I said, well, I don't want to fight anymore. Guess what? The enemy don't care. They're going to go after you. So Saul right here was fighting a physical battle, but we fight a spiritual battle. So not only was Saul lost ground right here, but now the enemy is sending on a riding parties to the north, west, and east in order to gain even more ground. Now, we Christians have our battles too. Sometimes we find ourselves in the midst of a great deep battle, and some of us have the scars to prove that we've been injured in our battles. You ever been injured in those spiritual battles of life? Oh, yes. Oh, yes. There are many situations that we find ourselves to, and we need great, solid faith to move on and to be victorious over that. And listen, if we sit down, we're going to say, I have the scars of that battle. This is this battle. This is this battle. This is this battle. God gave me victory over, but I have the scars. And I still remember those battles. So actually, you might be in a battle right now at this moment. You might be in a battle. Folks, as long as we live in this world, there are always going to be battles in which we have to fight. Actually, it seems like every day is a battle, isn't it? Every day there is a battle. Every day there is an enemy to conquer. Every day is an obstacle. Every day there is something we need to do. Every single day. As Christians involved in various conflicts, we must always remember that we fight a spiritual battle. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, and keep your finger here in 1 Samuel 14. Look at Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. And look what it says there. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. So you see, even though we many times find ourselves fighting against other human beings, our problem goes deeper than that. Our problem is spiritual, because our real enemy is not, for say, human beings, but Satan and his demons. We live in a demonic control society. And you say, well, that's really harsh words. Really? Well, if we look through the eyes of the Bible, that's how we have to say it. Our problem is primarily, and we fight against principalities, powers, against the rulers in darkness of this world. Just as the Philistines were sending our various riding parties in different directions, your enemy, Satan, is also on the move. Look what he says in 1 Peter 5:8, be sober. You know what it is? It's like, be wise, be sober, look around, be vigilant. You know one thing I do every morning when I get out of the house? I get out of the house like 4 in the morning. You know what I do? Everything is quiet. You know that verse says, be sober? I walk very sober when I walk outside. I live in the woods. I don't want to encounter a bear right in front of my house. So I'm very alert. I'm very vigilant as I'm walking to my car. You know, I'm making all kinds of noise if some wild animal, they can walk away. You know, you never know. One time, I gave you a story. I walked out and I went down my 4 steps. I went to walkway and I look. It was 4 deer looking at me right there, like about 5 feet from me. They look at me. I scare them. They scare me. They ran the other way and I ran the other way inside the house. I don't know how I opened the door. Because at the moment, I didn't know where it was until I got to the house, and I was like, oh, that was deer. That was not. But anyway, folks, I'm sorry. Oh, yes. Imagine if they ran my way. Oh, goodness. Oh, it's been said that the Christian life is not a playground, but a battleground. You are engaged in a spiritual battle, like all of us, with eternal consequences, and the enemy is on the move trying to gain new ground in your life. We need self-control, alertness, so that we can fight, or better fight, our enemy. So we see right here that our battles are spiritual battles. Number 2, let it be, our weapons are spiritual. Look what it says there. I'll go back to 1 Samuel chapter 13, verse 19. And it says, for now Now there was no smith found throughout all the land of Egypt, for the Philistines said, lest the Hebrews make them swords of spears. But all the Israelites went down to the Philistines to sharpen every man his shear and his cutlet and his axe and his matlock. And they had a file to the matlocks, and yet they had a file of the matlocks and for the cutlets and for the forks and for the axes and to sharpen the goats. And so it came to pass in the day of battle that there was neither sword nor spear found in the hand of any of the people that were with Saul and Jonathan, but with Saul and with Jonathan his son was there found. So we see right here, these guys went to battle against the Philistines. They had an army who had no weapons. Only Saul and his son. Can you imagine? So the Philistines not only were outnumbered the Israelites, but they possessed military superiority with all the weapons that they had. The Philistines controlled the technology of iron making here, so they were able to limit the Israelite ability to make weapons. There were no blacksmith in Israel, so the Israelites had to go to the Philistines for farming equipment and repairs. And Saul's soldiers right here, they're going to battle with no weapons. And let me tell you, what about us? Normally, this would be a problem, but now when God is on your side. You see, we see a king that was fearful, afraid. So he didn't trust God. We see Jonathan, a man that was not a king, but went to battle, and he was not afraid. Let me tell you, it goes like this. If Saul understood and look back at in the history of Israel, you would see that God, time after time, gave him victory after the battles that they had. Why wouldn't God give him victory over this battle? You see, the same thing goes to me and you. When we are of little faith, we come to this battle, and what we do, we look at the circumstances and the problem, and it becomes bigger than a high mountain. And we don't know how to fight it. And we are, our faith is so small, we are, by just looking at it, we are already defeated. But if we have solid, rock, bold faith, we say, my God is bigger than this mountain. And my God can, I cannot win, but my God can win this battle for me. That was the problem of Saul. See, as Christians, we do have to fight our wars as the world fights as well. We fight with spiritual weapons. We read this in the New Testament, in the book of 2 Corinthians. Look what it says in 2 Corinthians 10, chapter 10, verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty to God, to the pulling down of strongholds. So we say right here, our weapons are spiritual weapons. And guess what? We can use it for the word, for the glory of the Lord. The word gets to you, the world gets to use all sorts of weapons that you and I shouldn't use it in many ways as Christians, like violence, hate, hatred, falsehoods, gossip, slander, rumors, and outright lies. That's weapons that we shouldn't use as Christians. And just as with Saul, sometimes it may seem like it's not a fair fight. I guess what? It is not fair, but let me tell you this. We have our weapons we can fight. How can we fight our spiritual battles? With goodness, with love, with faith, with truthfulness. We can fight, this spiritual fight with those weapons. Not with lies and gossip and hatred and violence. We don't have to do that. We have a God that is bigger than that. You know what Jesus said about this? Or the book of Romans said about this? Vengeance is mine. I will repay it, saith the Lord. So if vengeance is God's, you know what we do? We fight our battles, and we give it to the Lord. Say, Lord, I'm here. I'm standing still, but I'm trusting you. So when somebody gossips about us, when somebody trashes our name, when somebody says lies about us, when somebody puts our name in the mud, what do? Get even? We give it to the Lord. You know, turn evil with good goodness. So we turn evil with goodness. Is that hard to do? If you're in the flesh, it is. But if you're a spiritual filled person, it's not. You give it to God. So number two, faith to move forward. Faith, we need faith to move forward. How we have this solid rock, bold faith, and we need faith to move forward. The second principle is this. If you want to act boldly in your faith, then move forward with faith. Faith has a movement to it, and as Christians, you should always be moving forward with faith. So this guy said, the Lord called me to be a missionary. 10 years later, the Lord called me to be a missionary. 20 years later, the Lord called me to be a missionary. Okay, the Lord called you to be a missionary. When are you going to be a missionary? I'm just using a silly example, which you understand what I'm saying. You see, if we have to have, if you have rock, solid, bold faith in God, like what we need to do, we need to move forward. If we stand still, and when we stand still for the Lord to teach us, but we move forward by faith. So letter A, faith plays offense. We see this in chapter 13, verse 23. And it says, and the garrison of Philistines went out to the passage of Michmash. And it says, and now it came to pass upon the day that Jonathan, the son of Saul, said unto the young man that bear his armor, come and let us go over to the Philistines' garrison, that and on the they're on the other side, but he told not his father. Why he didn't tell his father? That's a good question, isn't it? See, so the detached of the Philistines went out to pass in Michmash right here, but the question is, Jonathan went with his armor bearer there by themselves, and he didn't tell his father. Why? See, unknown to Saul, Jonathan heads out to Michmash with his armor bearer, like I said. Meanwhile, Saul is back in Gibeah, sitting under a tree. Now, he is probably planning and administrating from there, but you can't help but to see the contrast here. Saul sits, Jonathan acts. You see this? Saul sits, Jonathan acts. You see, little faith sits down. Bold faith acts. Follow that? Saul is content to play defense. Jonathan goes and plays offense. You see, faith causes us to move forward. Listen, if we are a faithful church, if we're going to press against the gates of hell, we need to play offense, right? It's not hell that press against the gates of the church. It's the church that press against the gates of hell. So if we're going to press against the gates of hell, guess what we're moving? We're moving forward. We don't stay still. We move forward. You see, we don't need to stay staggered and say, oh, poor me. No. Listen, don't live in a poor me world. Live in his I can do something for God world. That's what we can do. Listen, in anything in life, I can do it. By the grace of God, I can do it. Maybe it's just me. I don't know. I don't know. Oh, goodness. We see right here that Saul, because of fear of the enemy, Saul, of little faith, guess what? He sits down. Jonathan acts. Jonathan was a man of faith and a man that believes in God. Jonathan was not only a man of faith, but he was a man of solid rock faith. Whether the reason Jonathan is a wonderful example of what faith in Jesus should be. Jonathan's faith is a wonderful example of a church mission in a world this world today. The church should not be playing defense, like I said, but play offense. We should move forward. Let me tell you, it starts in the grounds of the church. It moves to our neighborhoods. It moves to the surrounding areas, and it goes across the world. That's what God wants us to do. For us to do that, we have to play offense all the time. Listen, folks. You know how you play offense with our faith? You know how we play offense with our faith? We go tell others where to find bread. We go tell others where to find bread. We go tell others how we found Jesus. And we tell them that they can find Jesus too. And this notion that we say, well, nobody wants to hear anymore, I don't believe in such a thing. First of all, because I tell you what, if I, me, as a wicked sinner, stopped and heard and accepted, I think people like me or worse than me or even better than me can listen to. Amen. Listen, Sunday morning, there was a young lady that listened to the message and received Jesus as Savior. See, if I can, we look at me, I said, I don't even look at anybody but me. I knew how a wicked sinner I was. If me as a wicked sinner could listen to someone talking about Jesus and the plan of salvation and give it to me and I receive it, I think other people can hear it too. Even in the age that we live in. Folks, let me put it this way. Every age is a wicked age. Every age. We're not going to say, oh, this age was the best age. Every age. In every age, there is lost sinners. There's people that hate God. Every age, no matter what age. You know why? Because we sinners. We think this is the worst age. Really? All the sin that we see around us always been around since the beginning of time. Sodom and Gomorrah, God literally put brainstorm on that stuff. Why? Because they're boldly just doing, living large. Sometimes we think, oh, where our world's going to go. And where our world's going to go, our world's He's going to where God tells him in his word he's going. But guess what? Jesus is coming. The master is coming to get his church. So Jonathan was a man of great faith. The church should not be playing defense. We should be playing offense. The church should be a block or a solid block of rock solid faith, of full of people of rock solid faith that say, we can do this for Jesus. We can do this. And pressing against the gates of hell. Let me tell you, this church and many other churches that proclaim and preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ are in a foreign ground or foreign land. And we are in the enemy territory land. And guess what? We live in we are in a place where many people don't want to hear the truth. But guess what? Some will. So actually, it seems like that hell is gaining ground when the saints are in state of apathy. Jesus said in Matthew 16, 18, I say also unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock, look what it says, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. You see, until he comes, he will continue to build his church stone upon stone. And we are the stones, you and me, we are the stones that he keeps building onto. The word prevail in that verse is that means overcome against it. In other words, the church is on the offense, storming the gates of hell, and the gates of hell will not stand against it. That's the first thing we learn about moving forward with faith in this section. Let it be. Faith trusts the Lord. Faith trusts the Lord. Look at verse 4, chapter 14, verse 4. It says, and between the passages by which Jonathan saw to go over unto the Philistines' garrison, there was a sharp rock on the one side and a sharp rock on the other side. And the name of one was Bozaz, and the name of the other was, Zenia. And in the forefront of one was situated northward over against Michshab, and the other southward over against Gibeah. And the Lord said unto the young and Jonathan, said to the young man that bare his arm, come and let us go over the garrison of these uncircumcised. It may be that the Lord will work for us, for there is no restraint to the Lord to save by many or by few. You see the faith of Jonathan here? He's not relying on himself. He's relying on God. He's relying on God. In verse 7 it says, and his armor bearer said unto him, do all that is in thy heart, turn thee, behold, I am with thee according to thy heart. You see, here's a man right here that has solid rock faith in God, and it was an armor bearer right here that says, I follow you, I go with you. See, there was a lot that Jonathan needed to overcome the battle here in Michmash right here. First of all, the terrain was difficult. This pass was situated between two cliffs right here. And let me tell you, it did not turn him around. There was a reason why Saul originally camped in Michmash, and why the Philistines were camping out there now. It was a great place for a camp. It was hard to attack and easy to defend, but none of these deters Jonathan right here. Remember, he goes without his father knowing. He tells his armor bearer, come, let us go, because he trusted God. You know, sometimes, you know, I can't go. And we put all these difficulties ahead of us. We can't go to those places, or we can't serve the Lord in those things. You know what? Sometimes we just need to push. We need to hear brother or sister say, yes, we can do it. We can do those things. You see, faith is different than presumptions. We should never presume to know God's will in a specific situation. Rather, faith chooses to follow God, whether he leads us, and then trusts him with the results. You follow that? That is faith. Faith is like, Lord, I don't know where you're taking me, but I trust you with the results of it. Lord, I don't know where I'm going, but I trust you, Lord. Jonathan's final phrase is, for there's no restraint for the Lord to save by many or by few. Verse 6. So Jonathan knew that he was outnumbered, but he also knew that when God is in the picture, numbers don't matter. God can save many, or can save a few. He can even save by one, as the story of David and Goliath right here testifies. Nothing can hinder the Lord from saving people. Look what it says in Proverbs 21:30. There's no wisdom, no understanding, no counsel against the Lord. If God is in it, God can do it. Is the three friends of Daniel went to that big fiery burning thing right there. What happened to them? They said to Nebuchadnezzar, it doesn't matter if we live or die, we not bow to you. You know what? They went in full of faith. They probably thought they were going to be shish kebab. You know? I mean, they probably thought, but we have a great God. You know, guess what? They came out of it. Faith trusts even when we don't see ahead of us. Faith is something like we don't waver, we just live, we just go on by faith. Let us see. Faith results in actions. Results in actions. And he says, look at verse 8 of chapter 14. Then said Jonathan, behold, we will pass over unto these men. We will discover ourselves unto them. And if they thus unto us, tarry until we come to you. Then we will stand still in our place, and we will not go up unto them. Verse 10 says, but if they say thus, come up unto us, then we will go up, for the Lord had delivered them into our hands. And this shall be a sign unto us. And both of them discovered themselves into the garrison of the Philistines. And the Philistines said, behold, the Hebrews come forth out of the holes where they had hid themselves. And the men of the garrison answered Jonathan and his armor bearer and said, come up to us, and we will show you a thing. And Jonathan said unto his armor bearer, come after me, for the Lord had delivered them unto the hand of Israel. And Jonathan climbed up upon his hands and upon his feet, and his armor bearer after him, and they fell before Jonathan, and his armor bearer slew after him. And the first slaughter which Jonathan and his armor bearer made was about 20 men within as it was in a half acre of land, which a yoke of oxen might plow. So Jonathan's faith wasn't a simple faith of words. Jonathan's faith was a faith in action. He trusted God. Let me tell you, folks, 20 men right here. You with another man are going to fight men of war, 20 guys. Only in the movies they survive. Yesterday I was watching Captain America. Captain America was in an elevator. And one by one, these men came out. And the elevator was so congested, it was like sardines in a can there. And believe me, in the end, Captain America walks by himself out of there, and everybody else is on the floor. Only in the movies. Only in the movies. And you go like, wow, great. And you already knew you was going to win. Great. You see, but right here is a man right here that defeats 20 other guys, men of war. You see, Jonathan's fate was a fate of action. Jonathan is in a difficult place right here. He's outnumbered by the Philistines. He has no backup, just him and his armor bearer. Guess what? He goes to it, and God is with him. You see, a lot of times this is what we see. We see the obstacle. We see the mountain. We see the problem. We see, and we back up. And we don't want to go because we think we're going to get defeated. And Jesus said, ye of little faith. But those who are of solid rock faith, we face it. We move forward. And guess what? God gave us the victory. But you know what? We believe and we trust God with the result. Can you get wounded in the process? Yes. You can get wounded. You might need some stitches. But guess what? We win in the end. You see, and that's what we see here. You see, true faith always results in actions. True faith causes us to put one foot after the other and move forward, always trusting God. Always trusting God. Now, how would you do what Jonathan did, or would you stay in the camp with Saul? How would you do? They say, well, this is the king's problem. I'm staying in the camp. Right, brother? I'm staying in the camp. This is the king's problem. Isn't it? I can see why Jonathan didn't tell his father, because he probably wouldn't let him go. So he goes by himself with his armor bearer. Guess what? And he purposely shows himself. I mean, he's provoking the people. Those soldiers, he's provoking them. Come on. Obviously, that's a lot of bold faith, right? He's had 20 guys after them. I'll run for my life, right? See, true faith results in action. True faith causes us to put one foot, like I said, after the other, and we move forward. Look what it says in James chapter 2, verse 18. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show you thee my faith by my works. You cannot separate true faith from actions. Faith and actions live together in the same house and always go together. If you truly believe that God will help you defeat your Philistines, you will climb up a cliff on your hands and knees and make the attack. If you truly believe that Jesus died on the cross for your sins, you will come to him and ask him for forgiveness. For those of you maybe watching us on social media, if you truly believe that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, of the living God, who rose from the dead, then you will confess him as Lord and follow him anywhere. If we really believe by faith that God is what it is, and if we believe by faith that God put in our heart something and we want to do it, folks, I tell you what, we need to step out by faith. It is one thing to be listen to a message and to say, yes, Lord, you spoke to me tonight, is another thing to forget about it. You see, faith in battle, we see faith moves forward. Number three, faith and victory that comes from the Lord. Faith and victory that comes from the Lord, which leads us to our third point right here. Faith that leads to the Lord. Letter A, the battle is not yours, but God's. If we have solid rock faith, our battles is the Lord's, not ours. If you go somewhere and you try to witness to somebody, and they are rude to you, unkind or mean to you, they're not attacking you, they're attacking God. If you mind your own business, you're in your workplace, and the people be mean and unkind to you, or say things purposely to provoke you, they're doing that because of who you are. And let me tell you, if we are students of the Word, we have the sword of the Spirit. We can fight back. Amen. We can fight back. Listen, as a Christian, don't stay there and take it like you are nothing, like you're so weak and poor you, Poor me, I cannot do nothing. You can stand up. You can stand up and defend yourself with the very word of God. You can. The battle is not yours, but God's. Look at verse 15. And there was trembling the host of the field among all the people, the garrison and the spoils, they also tremble, and the earth quaked. So there was a very great trembling. And the watchmen of Saul in Gibeah of Benjamin looked, and behold, the multitude melted away, and they went on beating down one another. Then said Saul unto the people that were with him, number now, and see who is gone from us. And when they had number, behold, Jonathan and his armor bearer were not there. And Saul said unto, what is the name of this guy? Ahiah, bring either the ark of God, for the ark of God was at that time with the children of Israel. And it came to pass, while Saul talked unto the priests, that the noise that was in the host of the Philistines went on and increased. And Saul said unto the priests, withdraw thine hand. So Jonathan and his armor bearer attacked in faith, but it is God who gave them victory. God sent both the panic into that camp, to the enemy, in a well-timed earthquake. Saul and his men were afraid of the enemy, but now the tables were turned around, and the enemy was afraid of God. You know, amazing. People out there, philosophers, the most intelligent people of this world, the atheists, the agnostics, the anti-God, they play this big thing until something drastic happened. And they get so small, soundly. I remember when the towers in New York went down, our politics were in the White House and the stairs right outside praying to God. You remember that? Sometimes it doesn't take much. It just takes a little thing. We think we are that strong. We think we can do all things. We don't need God. And guess what? We are fragile. We're more fragile than we think. Just a little disease. Just a little cancer. And everything breaks down. See, that's what we think we are right here. You see, it's Saul in the camp afraid of confronting the enemy, not trusting God, ye of little faith. And it is one man and his armor bearer by himself facing the enemy. And guess what? God is with him. And you say, Pastor, this is such a good story. It's a great story. But I can't do that. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. That's a great story. That's a Bible story. Yeah, that's the, you know what? At that moment right there, there was a human being facing other human beings. And that's the way, like you can find yourself in the same problem. This is more than a story. This is people's lives in here. Yep. This is when men, they went to battle and find themselves. He provoked them purposely for them to come out. And when God is with him, and God is there fighting the battle, because the battle is the Lord's. We have to have enough faith. You see, Saul looked and see the enemy forces scattering and report back to Saul. Saul calls for another hand count, and Jonathan was not there. Yes, Saul is counting his troops again. There's a lesson here too. At some point in life, we got to stop counting and start moving forward. That's what we need to do. What we see right here, move forward, because our time is moving out. Let's go to letter B. Your faith will encourage others to trust God. We see this in verse 20. Look, it says, and they arose early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa, and as they went from Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear ye, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, believe in the Lord your God, so shall ye be established. Believe his prophets, so shall he prosper. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord. And actually, this is 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 21, and I'm sorry. in that it should praise the beauty of holiness, and they went out before the army and to say, praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. Of course, this passage goes back, it goes hand in hand with the passage we're reading, and I'm sorry, I didn't say that in the beginning, but that's 2 Chronicles chapter 20, all the way to verse 23. So, because of Jonathan's faith, Saul and his men joined the battle. Those who had the factor to the other side came back to Israel and joined the battle as well. Those who were still in hiding came out of hiding and joined the battle. So what we see right here, folks, is that our faith can encourage others to do something for God. Listen. Okay, so let's say we are defeated and we are feeling sorry for ourselves, and one comes along and like, come on, let's go, we can do it. You ever see people like that? We can do it. Let's go. And you say, no. Come on, you can. We can do this. I remember when I learned how to swim many years ago when I was a kid. I was afraid of the water, especially when it was deep. I tried to put my foot in the water. I was afraid I was going to drown. And I see my friend in the water goes, come on, I'll help you. I won't let you die. Come on, you can do it. It took me a little time, but we know what he did. He encouraged me. And suddenly, I went, pew, in the water, and now I'm trying to go like this up in the water, and I can see his hands holding me up. You know what? He encouraged me to throw myself in the water. See, sometimes that we need our faith, your faith, would encourage others to trust God. If our faith is solid, rock faith, others would follow. Sometimes that's what we need, is someone that stands still and say, Lord, I have faith, I have solid rock faith, and I'm going to encourage my brothers and sisters. Jonathan was a man of solid rock faith. You know, Israel was at victory that day. You know why? Because of one man. One man had faith in God. Where were the other ones? Camping at the camp because they knew the enemy was too much, too big. Let me tell you this way. If our faith is this small, we think Satan is a foe that we cannot defeat. We look at the world, we say, oh, I cannot do anything about it. And we look at ourselves as a poor me. I cannot have victory over these sins in my life. But I tell you what, but if we have solid rock faith in trusting God, we can have victory over these enemies. Not just today, but tomorrow and the day after, and the day after, and the day after. And 10 years from now, we can still walk in victory because we have solid rock faith who trusts God. I conclude with this. Last week we saw Saul act foolish and out of fear. What a difference this week as we see Jonathan acting in solid rock faith. And what an encouragement to us in our own life to have solid rock faith. May the Lord then say to us, ye of little faith. May the Lord look at us and say, my child, down there, right there, have solid rock faith. And that's what we need. In this world that we live in, folks, we need solid rock faith, a faith that doesn't waver, a faith that keeps moving forward. That's the faith that we need to have. We say, Lord, others may fall, but I'll stand for you. Even if I'm the only one fighting the battle, I will fight for you, Lord. I think that's what the Lord wants. And let me tell you, in every generation, there are those who do that, who stand for God no matter what. You know, sometimes people don't like us because of the stand that we have. But you know what? We move forward. You know what they did to Jesus? They put him on a cross. That's what they did. They didn't like him. They nailed him into a cross. But Jesus didn't give up. Jesus didn't say, okay, folks, okay, I went a little too far. I'm going to back on. Let's get a little group here and talk about this. No. He kept going, and he went to the cross. Did he knew that he was innocent? Yes, he knew. But you know what? He went forward. Jesus had solid rock faith in the Father. And we too need to have solid rock faith. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for Jonathan. What example of a man of faith. Lord, that's what we need in our lives. Lord, we live in a very tempting world, a world that temptation is in every side, Lord, a world that is more and more walking away from you. And Lord, sometimes we feel like we're all alone. But help us, Lord, to now waver. Help us, Lord, not to look at the world in defeat, but look at the world with solid rock faith and stand up, Lord, and live a life that brings honor to you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right. Just...